Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Grabs. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Decided to skip the whole Jericho segment on Rampage. Actually had it on the Spanish podcast for a while just to shake things up and make sure I didn't have to listen to Chris Jericho say literally anything in his terrible, stupid voice. Wrestling is dead. I hate wrestling. I want to quit my job. Basically. I haven't been this disillusioned with where wrestling is going in a very, 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 very long time. Harley is doing the 12 Days of Christmas, and it's very funny because Harley's great. Can we just make Harley into all of the wrestling? Can all of the wrestling be Harley? Harley's great. We won't talk about it here because spoilers, but something happened on the taped collision that makes me die. I get far too invested in the way that I think things should happen. And when they don't, I want to die. And it's a mental illness. It's a mental illness I need to get over. I'm not taking any meds for it. Maybe I should. But when I decide how things should happen and then that doesn't happen that way, I want to die. And that's a problem. That's a problem. So I need to get past it and move on. But it is a feeling. It's a feeling inside me that death must be preferential to the thing that happened the way I didn't want it to. And that's a problem. I just need to get past it. So that's great. That's good. So good. Great. Wonderful. Fantastic. SmackDown tonight sucked a big one. It fucking was awful. It was just goddamn fucking terrible. You know, they're taping a SmackDown for next week. They're taping the SmackDown after Saturday night's main event tonight. That's got to be a how is there any way that fucking show could like have any fucking meaning whatsoever? They're doing Saturday night's main event tomorrow night, and they already taped the show that airs after it. So nothing that happens tomorrow night can possibly have any bearing on the shit that's going to happen on Friday tomorrow next week. Why the fuck would anybody watch that fucking show next week? We'll see you here next week to talk about that fucking show next week. So, tonight, I don't know, man. I don't like what
anybody's doing. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me whatsoever. None of it does. None of it makes any sense to me. So, Jimmy Uso came out to cut a promo about how he's going to win the Royal Rumble. Like, that's a fucking thing that's even logically possible. Jimmy Uso winning the Royal Rumble. What the fuck are you doing? Putting words in that man's mouth that suggests that he believes there is a chance he will win the Royal Rumble. What the fuck is going on in the creative team? He cuts a really good promo. Where the hell has this Jimmy Uso been this whole fucking time? I don't know. You know what I think? I think the wrong twin got the singles push. There, I'll say it, because everything he's doing is way more interesting than anything that Jay has ever said since he's been the Yeet Man. 100%. So they pushed the wrong twin. Another fucking thing they did wrong. I am in the worst goddamn mood. Fucking Tony Khan booking fucking bullshit on Thursdays that I have to see by accident on Fridays that won't even air until Saturday. Tony Khan, I blame you for me being so mad at the shit that Triple H is booking. I am in the worst fucking mood. Drew McIntyre shows up and hits a Claymore on Jimmy Uso, who's walking with a crutch. And then they have to come out and drag Drew McIntyre to the back. Oh, it's the transfer portal time. So it looks like Drew McIntyre is also jumping ship because CM Punk is going to be on Raw. He's going to stay on Raw. All the important people from SmackDown, they're going to Raw. So we got to bring Drew over to kind of like, I don't know, even things out and make sure he doesn't have to, I don't know, accidentally team with CM Punk on Raw. So that's good. So he's on SmackDown now attacking Jimmy Uso, which means Jey Uso and Sammy are also coming to SmackDown. That should be a lot of fun for everybody. The U.S. title tourney is fucking bullshit. The U.S. Women's title tournament is fucking bullshit. It's fucking bullshit, and I'm fucking, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's the first ever mid-card women's title, the first ever representation for the women of what the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title have been for the men. The first ever. So the person who wins that, the first ever, should be an absolute goddamn Hall of Famer lock. So we look at it and go, wow, obviously that is what a great accomplishment, what a great accolade given to that person. Bayley should have won the whole fucking tournament. The only other option I will take will be Naomi because of the rooting interest people have for Naomi. I like Chelsea Green. I like Mee Chin. Guess what? Mee Chin's not beating Chelsea Green tomorrow. Even if she does, she fucking shouldn't. Chelsea Green winning means that they're going to book the first ever. I cannot stress this enough. The first ever women's United States or Intercontinental title reign will be booked like absolute 100% grade A dog shit. Chelsea Green will be running from matches. They will never let Chelsea Green be as good as she is. They will turn her into the biggest fucking chicken shit in the history of fucking wrestling. It will be a stain on the legacy of women's wrestling, that the first ever mid-card women's championship reign in the history of the biggest company in wrestling history will be booked like fucking dog shit. I am so preemptively mad at how little she will defend, and when she does, how many fucking unnecessary shenanigans will be in every match. Chelsea Green beat Bayley for some fucking reason, because Bayley's a fucking idiot who decides to do an elbow drop to Chelsea Green's tag team partner on the outside and then loses to Chelsea Green. Tiffany Stratton loses to Mee Chin because fucking reasons. I don't know. Fucking dumb fucking thing this is. And Toni Storm does not appear to still be Timeless Toni. And that makes me very angry. Because I had planned out a whole extra year of Timeless Toni amazing stuff. And they're not doing any of it. And now I'm mad. Because I don't like feeling like I want to die. It makes me angry. I hate wrestling. I wish I didn't feel this way, you guys. I wish I didn't feel this way. No, Linda can't come out. Linda can't come out because Linda can only come out when I'm not this angry. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I cannot begin to describe you how much less interesting Toni Storm is as the old version of her character to me. She's so much less interesting. Like, just, like, 1,000,000% less interesting as the old character than she was as Timeless Toni Storm. I think Timeless Toni Storm is the greatest gimmick in the history of wrestling. That's my view. I don't think it's even arguable it's the best gimmick of the 2020s. I don't even think it's arguable. It's the best gimmick of this millennium. But in my honest opinion, it's the best gimmick I've ever seen. The most fully fleshed out, the most fully realized, the best performed ever. And to see it just go poof. It just went poof. Yeah, that makes me fucking angry. I don't ever get to see it again. Or at least not for a while. And in the meantime, I got to watch this boring ass, generic ass, just... I have one strip of eye black under my eye. I'm in the worst fucking mood, guys. I'm in the worst mood. Wait for what she says at the end of this match. Okay. I guess I'll wait and see what that is. Kylie says, if it makes you feel any better, Alex, y'all doing that stupid Walker episode made the last hour and a half of my job go by very fast. Well, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that made your job better. What is going on in wrestling makes my job worse. Mee Chin versus Chelsea Green for the first ever women's mid-card title. It just... Bayley is one half of the best, of the most, not only the best, but the most important women's match ever. Even if it's not to your taste, even if you don't think it's the best ever, I don't think it's arguable. Brooklyn, TakeOver Brooklyn, Sasha versus Bayley is the most important women's match ever. Because of what it brought to the forefront for women's wrestling fans and women's wrestlers all over the world. Sasha's gone. Bayley's still around. You should be rewarding Bayley with at every opportunity to thank her for what she has done, bringing in a giant revenue stream of women's wrestling fans to pay for stuff that they would not have paid for before, just on the fucking capitalistic side. Bayley should have been the U.S. Women's Champion, the first ever. It would be an amazing thing when she retires, however many time world champion, however many time tag team champion, and the first ever U.S. Women's Champion. I don't think it's even arguable that anyone else, besides maybe Naomi, should have been the first ever U.S. Women's Champion. No, listen, I like Mia Yim. I like Mee Chin. She has been a fucking afterthought for this entire, all of 2024. She went to NXT for a little bit for no fucking reason. She's an afterthought. I don't like the idea of you going from an afterthought in the booking to winning a championship tournament for the first ever U.S. women's title. I need WWE to think more than 5 minutes ahead when it comes to the women, because they just don't, and most of the men, but they just don't. And it'll be great for Mia Yim. It'll be great for Mia Yim. But it won't make the U.S. women's title feel important. The biggest thing is I need the Intercontinental and women's U.S. titles to feel important, at least slightly important. I don't think we're lucky enough to ever see them get defended on a pay-per-view or PLE or what the fuck ever. But I want them to feel like there's something. They don't. If Mee Chin wins it, I'm sorry. It doesn't feel like it's anything to me. Not if the alternative was Naomi or Bayley. It just doesn't feel important. Why? Because they've never once made me think that they feel like Mia Yim is important. And it's not like, oh, well, if we put the U.S. title on you, you'll feel important now. No, it just devalues the U.S. title.
Tony Storm wins with a Storm Zero pile driver. Tony Storm wins with a Storm Zero pile driver on Harley Cameron. I wasn't even able to enjoy the match at all because of how what in the foul mood I am. So here's Tony. Is she going to say something? I was told, what did she say? Didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. She did timeless hands. She didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. I'm so angry, you guys. Like they've taken away one of my favorite acts ever and replaced it with some generic thing that I can't give a shit about. Like Tony Storm, if this version of Tony Storm, if you're asking me to rank the women in AEW that I care about, I don't think she's in the top 10. I don't think this version of Tony Storm, this version of her, is in the top 10 of women's acts that I care about. It's tomorrow that she says something. Okay. It's tomorrow that she says something. Fine. So here, Deonna Purrazzo is going to squash some lady. I'm just in the worst mood. DIY. Wait, no. Roman Reigns cut a promo from inside a 1990s rap music video. R&B music video. There was soft focus. I think he was standing on a dock somewhere at sunset. Paul Heyman was standing behind him doing this in soft focus. He just said that he wants to face Solo Sikoa in tribal combat for whoever wins this match on the first ever Netflix Raw. The winner of that match is going to be the new real tribal chief. That's what he says. So that's what but I don't understand why he cut the promo from inside a 1990s R&B music video. That was ridiculous. So DIY cut their promo about how they planned this whole thing, and they're going to, It's a very little promo, Vignetti. It's nice. It was well done. Johnny Gargano has the heel faux hawk going. There was also a promo later cut by MCMG about how they're going to get revenge or whatever. It's fine. Okay, cool. I mean, honestly, I mean, the possibility is there for a great SmackDown tag team division of DIY, MCMG, and the Street Profits. The possibility is there for an amazing SmackDown tag team title division. Do I think they will do any of that? No, they've proven that they don't care about tag team wrestling at all. Deonna Purrazzo has already won with an armbar on a girl who looks like Tonya Harding, but I'm assuming isn't actually Tonya Harding. There was a... Santos Escobar says he's going to call Adam Pearce and transfer to Raw. So we'll see how little he ever ends up on TV on Mondays. Carmelo Hayes comes out and is like, why did you do all this? Give me a special mystery opponent just for it to be light work, he says. And Nick Aldis is light work. Is that what you think? Okay, great. Now, I saw people saying, what if it's Penta? It's a new signing, Penta, the newest member of the SmackDown roster, he says. Marvez is interviewing Statlander for some reason. I'm going to turn this up so I can hear what she says.
Where do you go from here?
Okay, so Stat says she's still going after. So Stat says I'm getting another shot at the TBS title. So, okay, I guess we're doing that again.
So Statlander is wrestling tomorrow night in Collision. All right. Okay. Fine. That's fine. All right. So, yes, I realized the girl who looks like Tonya Harding was Shazza McKenzie. I was just making a joke. Carmelo Hayes, I saw people saying, what if his mystery opponent is Penta, new signing Penta? What if his mystery opponent is Obafemi? Wouldn't that be kind of weird if Obafemi has the title match at New Year's Evil, but he's got a match on SmackDown? He can't be a new member of the SmackDown roster, whatever. But you know who I didn't see anybody being like, wow, I can't wait? Fucking Braun Strowman. Who is not an act that anybody really gives a shit about anymore. They kind of ruined that in 2017 and 2018 when they had an opportunity to make him seem really important and then fucked it up. So Carmelo Hayes, who is, I think, certainly a potential future top guy in WWE. He's definitely got the potential. He's young enough. He can cut a promo. He's great in the ring. There's all kinds of potential for Carmelo Hayes to be a real top guy. So what you want to do with a future top guy in your company is you want him to take a squash loss in less than 90 seconds. I believe closer to a minute than it was to a minute and a half. To take a squash loss to Braun Strowman. An act that absolutely does not need the rub of beating Carmelo Hayes in a minute. This is a terrible, stupid, fucking ridiculous decision that certainly does not help the optics surrounding Triple H and whether or not he doesn't maybe much like black guys. I know you don't see color, Triple H. You just see talent, which is a weird fucking thing to think when you book Carmelo Hayes like this. Maybe you don't see talent. If so, you're fucking dumb. Solo Sikoa cuts a promo, whatever, blah, blah, blah. LA Knight cut a promo. Backstage says that he doesn't care about who has the oofalafa. He won't say oofalafa because he wants to say oofalafa because he thinks it's a funny word, because it's a funny foreign non-English sounding word. So the babyface thinks that he should cut promos belittling a foreign culture, not caring enough to say the name of the thing correctly, even though he fucking knows what it's called. So you have a baby face cut a stupid xenophobic promo for no fucking reason, but it's okay because he's cutting it on a heel. This is fucking dumb and I fucking hate it. LA Knight versus Solo Sikoa is a weird little sidetrack match for both guys, because Solo Sikoa, we know for a fact, is still coming after Roman Reigns and everybody. He still wants to prove he's the real tribal chief. LA Knight, I would think, would want his U.S. title back. What the fuck is he messing with these guys for? So the match is longer than it probably needed to be. And then Fatu is pissed off because LA Knight fought him on the outside of the ring. And Jacob Fatu just causes a DQ on purpose in full view of the ref, who rings the bell for the DQ, and then they beat the hell out of LA Knight and outrun Andrade and Apollo Crews to try and help stave off a beatdown on LA Knight.
Of course, the new bloodline gets the better of them, takes them all out, and leaves them all laying. So guess what's on the show next week? LA Knight, Apollo Crews, and Andrade against the new bloodline. So remember how I said I was totally fine with Shinsuke Nakamura coming back after 5 months off and beating LA Knight in their first match against each other? Provided that they actually do a good follow-up, guess what? They're not doing a good follow-up. They're not doing a good follow-up at all. So LA Knight is now forced to team with Andrade, who he was just feuding with a few months ago, and Apollo Crews, who hasn't been on TV since he squashed Giovanni Vinci twice in October, I think, or was it September? So what a great hot act to pair LA Knight with in Apollo Crews. And the three of them are going to lose next week to the new bloodline. Won't that be great? Why isn't the story being told of how LA Knight was too cocky for his own good, and that's why he lost to Shinsuke Nakamura, and he wants the title back, but Shinsuke Nakamura's got his number, and eventually he figures out how to right the ship, earns another title shot, and then at the Royal Rumble beats Shinsuke Nakamura for the title back. Why is that not the story that you're doing? Or are you doing that story, but as per usual, you do not know how to tell a story that lasts more than 6 weeks, even 6 weeks, 3 weeks. And so in the middle of that story, you have to pair LA Knight with these other guys to do a different thing that doesn't matter to him. Don Callis is talking. We saw Pretty Deadly come out and talk to Braun Strowman backstage about how he needs to be in Pretty Deadly the musical. They give him a script and he throws it back at them. And then Byron Saxton interviews him, and then apparently then in comes Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller and Austin Theory say that that they are going to that they're going to interview him next week. Kyle Fletcher has on some ridiculous sunglasses. Maybe that's why. No spoilers. Oh no! What's wrong? Why is my thing being all laggy again? Now I'm part of the Blurry Boys again. That hasn't happened in a few podcasts. Shinsuke Nakamura had a vignette that was very good, but LA Knight didn't deserve the title. He's only the beginning. So they just decided to bring Nakamura back, put the title on him, and then have LA Knight do other stuff now? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It is disgusting to me that they're cutting this promo on Rampage with the match coming up at Smack on Collision the way it's going to do. Cody Rhodes is supposed to have an interview with KO in the ring, but KO is in his car still and says, "Why don't you ask Cody how he could be so selfish to ask all of his friends help him to finish his stupid little story and then turn his back on all of us by teaming with Roman Reigns, the guy that we had to finish his story against."
Kyle Fletcher is talking a big game for a guy who knows spoilers. I'm so angry about everything. So Cody Rhodes says, I'm going to go find KO because he says mean things about me and that I'm not a good father or a son. And so he goes to the backstage area where Kevin Owens is lying in wait for him, and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes brawl back down to the ring and they fight each other. And eventually Kevin Owens hits Cody Rhodes in the head. Eventually he hits Cody Rhodes in the head with the belt and leaves him laying there. So we'd know for sure, if we didn't already, that Kevin Owens is definitely losing to Cody Rhodes tomorrow night, which is an absolute shame because Kevin Owens has never done anything wrong in his entire life. I'm sorry, Powerhouse Hobbs and Mark Davis as a tag team does not make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm sure it'll be fine. Holy crap, that bruise on Mark Davis's thigh. That's not like a birthmark or anything, right? I'm the only one who's seeing that. What the hell happened to Mark Davis's thigh? What happened to his thigh? That looks awful. That looks like that really hurts. All right. I mean, that's it. That's all of SmackDown. SmackDown was crap. Tomorrow night, Saturday night's main event's going to be crap. Monday, Raw is going to be crap. Collision tomorrow night's going to be crap. It's just going to be crap. Tomorrow night, everything that happens tomorrow night is going to be crap. But tomorrow night, during both Collision and Saturday Night's main event, there's going to be a watch along on the main Fightful YouTube channel. That is going to be our annual holiday stream, where all donations via Super Chat and Humper Chat will go to the people who work at Fightful, i.e. me and Kate and Jeremy and Cardoza and everybody that you love. Not Sean, because he's already getting enough money. So all the money that you donate tomorrow night during the watch-along stream for Saturday night's main event will go directly to us. As kind of a Christmas bonus. That's the way it's going to work. So so if you're feeling like you want to be generous and show things to us, that would be nice. Janice should have stuck around for a few weeks, LOL. That is funny. That would have been very, very funny. All right. I think that's everything. Let's see here. What's going on? Next week. Yeah. That's very funny. Oh, yeah. Backstage, they also announced Candice LeRae got her and Nia Jax a tag title match against Bianca and Naomi. Naomi, they were going to strip Bianca of the tag titles because Jade is injured and we can't find out who did anything to her. So we're going to have to strip you of the tag titles. We have to relinquish. And Naomi is like, hey, what if I stepped in and I was her tag team partner for any tag team title defenses? Aldis said, yes, but you have to start defending the title. You'll be fighting champions. You got to fight next week.
And they were like, okay, no problem. So later we found out that Nia Jax and Candice LeRae are going to be the first challengers to Bianca and Naomi as tag team champions. But the way that Naomi was like, hey, I could step in and I could be the new tag team champion instead of Jade. The way she volunteered to do it and the way that Bianca doesn't suspect her for a minute, to me seems like it's more than likely that Naomi is going to be the one who attacked Jade Cargill. I don't know exactly why they're going to make that be a thing, but I do think that's what it's going to be. By the way, guys, just so you all understand why I hate what they're doing with Carmelo is because when Braun is on the Grayson Waller effect next week, they're going to set up, this is true, this is happening, they're going to set up Braun versus Carmelo in a rematch, and then they're going to have the rematch next week. That match is also listed for only one segment on the show. So Braun will squash Carmelo again next week. He's going to take two back-to-back squash losses to Braun Strowman. Again, I cannot... This is a guy who's 5 years past the peak of his run in WWE. 5 years past it. I do not think it's possible for him to ever get another world title reign. He does not need the rub to beat Carmelo. And I don't think that if Carmelo ends up beating him, that there's much of a rub for Carmelo to get. This doesn't seem like a very good use of Carmelo Hayes, is my biggest point. Yeah, no, they don't see Carmelo as any kind of thing whatsoever. It's very sad. Carmelo's so great, and they don't really care about him, apparently. I don't know why they don't care about him, but they don't. Oh, look at that. Wouldn't you know it? Mark Davis as the face in peril against Takeshita and Lance Archer here. I wonder if Powerhouse Hobbs will get a hot tag and clear house. Oh, yeah, that's right. Naomi was like, no, not Naomi. Nia was like to Tiffany, oh, it was a rough loss there, Tiffany. Don't feel bad. Not everybody can be a singles champ. And then Candice LeRae says to Tiffany, I'm sorry, Tiffany. It looks like maybe singles wrestling just isn't your speed. So is that foreshadowing a feud? Feud between Tiffany and Candice for the speed championship? Is that what that is? Because that's dumb. Here we go. Come on. Come on, Powerhouse Hobbs. No. Lance Archer runs over Powerhouse. Powerhouse. Oh, no. We couldn't make the hot. Mark Davis couldn't make the hot. Oh, hold on. I mean, it's against the rules because none of them are women, but hold on. Mark Davis, he couldn't make the hot tag. And the long K, our share, tags in the take a shitter.
Is that how? It's not it. That's not it at all. Takeshita. That is correct. And he's gonna, oh, the mock device. He's gonna pick up the Takeshita, but no, the Takeshita picks up the mock device. Oh, the power of the Takeshita. The power of the Takeshitas. So wait a minute. They're saying that mock device is 285. They're also telling me that Brody King is 285. And they expect me to look at both men and think they are the same size. They are liars. They are stone cold liars, all of them. Hold on. I'm told that Kylie sent in a sour chat that I will read in the middle of this. Powerhouse Hababas is going in there. So there, here we go. Kylie says, "Hey, Alex, I know everything sucks, but just remember you bring so much joy to so many people, and we all love and support you, SGS, forever." Thank you so much, Kylie. I'm saying thank you on behalf of Alex. That's a wonderful thing to say. Even on days like today where everything sucks the most, Alex needs to remember how many people love the SGS and love him for all of his ridiculous rants that he does. Hababas and Takeshita's there. But no, there we go. And Device and Arshare are running into each other with clotheslines from about two steps away. Oh, a big Enzigiri bear by Device. Mark is deceptively big. You know who's deceptively bigger, or even not deceptively bigger, is Brody King. Brody King is much larger than Mark Device. Just in, you know, the whole, I don't think that the device has as much surface area. Let's call it surface area. Oh no, a Tower of Doom. Who could have seen it coming? All right, Hababas, come on in. Another hot tag to the Hababas. But not so hot to. Just coming in, slowly pulling down the straps. Big choke slam from Arshare and Hababas. No, kicks out of the choke slam. No. Mark Davis pulls Takeshita out of the ring, throws him into the... No. Arshare. No. Big power slam from Powerhouse. Walks right into the Spine Buster. 1, 2, 3. Powerhouse Hababas gets the win. All right. Well, that's it for this. That's it for this episode of... Takeshita tries to hit Hababas with the belt. And Hobbs hit the Spine Buster on Takeshita. All right. Hobbs versus Takeshita is going to hump. That's going to be a great, great friggin' match. Really great match. Moondance, don't leave. Don't leave the chat, Moondance. Hold on. Let's see here if I can... I'm going to get a link to the Discord, and I'm going to send it. I'll put it in the chat, and then you'll be able to click on it. Come on. It's slow. I don't know why my internet's slow right now. Here we go. Come on.
All right, let's see here. I'm gonna put a link in the thing. Where do I go? I wanna. Nope, that's not it. Now this is me also being helpless with the Discord at the moment. Here we go. Is anybody else? Hold on. All right. This. And here we go. Here we go. Boom. And here we go. Pow. Pow. There is your Discord link right there. Copy and paste that into your browser. And that Moondance is how you join the Discord server. Anybody who's in the chat right now who's not in the Fightful, in the Sour Graps Society, the SGS Discord, that is your way to get into it. All right? Thank you so much. And there it is. We will see you all tomorrow for the watch-along for Saturday Night's Main Event. And also, I believe Kate and I are going to try and do a review of Kevin Owens losing to Cody Rhodes, the fraud. Until then, everything sucks. Especially Carmelo losing. And also a different guy losing tomorrow.